So tonight, what we did was, we separated our friends and said, those of you that want to go out drinking, go ahead, go up, drink, do whatever. All the men can come with us and watch a movie. Our viewers have been emailing us about it. They've been saying, we need your review. We need to know what you guys think. Is it real? Is it fake? Could this even happen?
Yeah, it's gotten a lot of nominations, a lot of press, a lot of buzz.
The Academy nominated it for Best Picture, Best Director, Best Actor.
Yeah.
And one of the things I've always despised about the Academy Awards is they've never really shown love to our art, which is treasure hunting.
That's true.
There aren't that many treasure hunting movies that have won Best Picture.
Did Indiana Jones ever win anything?
Yeah. Raiders of the Lost Ark, that won, I think, Best Original Screenplay.
That was a long time ago.
19-something.
It's about time, though.
81. You know,
a treasure hunting movie.
You would think Da Vinci Code would have won something? No. It was actually a terrible book.
Yeah.
But the movie was a little bit worse.
Dan Brown.
So, we just got out of the movie. We saw The Revenant.
Mm.
You're always wondering, you guys want to know, and women, men and women want to know, what do Dylan and Dutch think about The Revenant? Dutch.
Well, I gotta say, Leonardo DiCaprio, he's come a long way.
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh.
I followed him since that movie, This Boy's Life, with Robert De Niro.
Oh yeah?
And Ellen Barkin, I think? Or...
Huh.
That was his first screen debut.
You know, I still haven't seen Titanic. Never saw it.
They made a movie out of that ship?
Yeah.
Oh, shoot, really?
Yeah. No, it's still...
Who's in it?
Leonardo DiCaprio and some other people.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, James... Was that James Cameron?
I never saw the movie. I thought it was in poor taste to make a movie about a tragedy like that.
He's the Titanic guy, I think. Anyways. He's come a long way, you know? I mean, back when he was every... man's, you know, nemesis, because right. He was just some...
What's Eating Gilbert, you know, Grape?
No, that was good. I liked him.
Romeo and Juliet?
Meh.
Was a good book. That's just a random thought.
You know, and I think he's really come into a lot of good roles, and...
Sure.
Yeah, and, you know, I respect him now a lot more as an actor, and, yeah, he's really honed his craft, so... thought he did a fantastic job.
I loved it. If he doesn't get Best Actor for it, I'm probably not going to care, but I'm going to disagree.
Mm.
Tom Hardy also did a very good job as the villain.
Fantastic.
Unrepentant.
Mm-hmm.
Even his last words were so hurtful, but poignant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well-played villain. Good role for him. You know, he was...
Bane?
Bane. Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, yeah.
He was also,
Mad Max.
Tommy, from the movie Warrior, with, the other guy. And he was also, some other guy in some other movie, really well.
Yeah.
Remember that one? That was a good one.
The first one or the second one?
No, the second.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was great in that other one, as well.
I didn't see that one.
No, the one with the mustache, when he had the mustache.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought you were talking about the other one.
No, that's okay. The beard. I didn't watch that one. Needless to say, me and Dutch are huge Tom Hardy fans.
Huge.
And we know all his movies and all his roles.
Yep.
I was surprised. It's a 2.5-hour movie. I was surprised as I'm watching it. Now, when I sat down, I took my scarf off, took my jacket off, laid it next to the seat. And by the way, we're secure enough in our masculinity not to have that space seat between us.
Yeah.
Do you ever see men do that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't want to call them men.
Yeah.
In a way. They're boys. They feel like... Anyways,
we're not threatened by each other's personal space.
No. No. It's... We boost it. We boost our, magnanimity? Magnanimity?
Sounds good.
I'll use a thesaurus later. But... The movie is set in the snowy mountain range. And the entire movie, I'm... I think, like, the characters are freezing.
Yeah.
There's snow and ice in their beards. Snot, frozen, everything. I guess it's realistic.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't cold at all during the movie.
Me neither. I was kind of warm, actually. I was wanting to take my vest off. But I didn't.
The fact that you wear that vest is amazing because it's your style. It's good.
I've worn vests for a long time. I'm a vest man.
Yeah. No, you are.
Yeah.
So, we never really discussed, how are we going to rate movies? Are we going to do like how those one guys did the thumbs up or thumbs down? Or Rotten Tomatoes does like something else.
Mm.
And that one guy says something. The guy that did the reviews for that thing. How do you want to review it? I have a suggestion.
I have one too. But okay. I want to hear yours.
All right. I think the top should be like 5 gold nuggets.
Oh, gold nuggets.
What nice. Was your idea?
Well, my first one was going to be gold bars.
Oh my gosh, it's even better. But
my second one was knives.
How about gold knives?
Gold knives! Perfect!
Yeah.
So what are we giving this one? What's our top rating?
5 gold knives.
5 gold knives? Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't give it 5.
Let's not start with 5, because then that dilutes our respectability in reviewing movies.
But,
I think it's a solid 4.
I'm going to give it, like, just over 4. Like, okay. 4 knives and a hilt.
Maybe. Okay.
Maybe. Or maybe a sheath.
Or
a scabbard.
Maybe 4 knives and a whetstone.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
I'd be okay with that. But we can disagree. We don't have to agree on the score.
No, but I like the idea of the whetstone. That's, I love whetstones. That's good for a rating scale. Yeah, that makes it a lot more clear.
I spent all last weekend sharpening my Outback Bowie knife.
Ooh.
I just think about it. I'm going to go home. I'm going to, like, put on my belt and go to sleep. Speaking of, and this is a digression, a few weeks ago, I thought we had a rat in our house.
Mm.
Okay. We had rat traps that we covered up some holes. But last night or the night before, and there's a point to me telling you this. A few nights ago, we heard a bunch of like flapping around like that all over the downstairs. And my wife wakes me up and says, George, there's something downstairs. I'm thinking, maybe the rat hit a glue trap. So I go downstairs. But what's important to know about the story is I'm wearing my machete. It's on me when I'm sleeping. I was wearing my long john pajamas. That comes with a belt. And I usually slip on my machete. It just feels safer. So I go downstairs, pull out the machete. There is a rat. And I decapitate it on the kitchen floor. Yeah. I did mop it all up and disinfect it. But I don't know where I was going with that. But I really like the machete.
Sharpening knives?
I didn't sharpen the machete.
Yeah.
It's pretty dull. But the Bowie knife, I didn't want to use because I eat with it.
Yeah. I eat with mine, too.
So, 4 gold knives.
And a whetstone.
And a whetstone.
Yeah.
For The Revenant. I would suggest you guys see it. Don't see it with your children.
No.
It's an R movie for a reason.
You know, there was definitely a nod to Empire Strikes Back in that movie.
The entire time I was thinking. Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. No, that's all I was thinking. The that poor Tauntaun.
I love that scene.
Yeah. That was good. It was really good.
People are wondering, we're still in the middle of the Mine of Dreams.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many things to touch on. But before we continue with the story, it's important to have backstory.
Yeah.
You and me,
mm-hmm.
we do research.
A lot.
Part of treasure hunting, you'd be surprised, is in the library. It's mm-hmm. on the internet. It's searching documents, looking at maps.
Indiana Jones was a professor.
All he did was in the library.
Library, all the time.
The only time you saw him adventuring was, like, the two-hour movie that he would make. But yeah. For the rest of the time, he's in the library, reading, learning Latin.
Yeah.
Spanish, German, Native American language.
It was a good 2 hours.
Oh, yeah.
Respectable.
I can only respect Dr. Jones.
Mm-hmm.
But you and I, we went to Nicaragua. Why don't you walk us through this library we went to? Before we go to this mine, we want to do enough research to know about the Sorcerer's Stone. A diamond-encrusted ruby.
So we enter the National Nicaraguan Library.
We had to get presidential permission.
Yeah, it's really interesting down there.
Yeah. We showed up, and they have something akin to Secret Service. Secret Service waved us in. Said, "Dylan, Dutch." They said something. I don't want to butcher the accent, but they said in an accent, "Dylan, Dutch, get in here. Senior President wants to meet with you both." Yeah. Because he's been a fan since day one.
Yep.
We go in. He says he likes you more. This is Dutch. You're my favorite.
You know why?
Why is that? He's a best guy, isn't he?
He is.
But why else?
You know, I spent a lot of time down in Nicaragua. Oh, gosh, when I was five years old, I went down there one time. I ran away from home. And so I knew a little bit about the culture and just, you know, knew some funny jokes, Nicaragua jokes. And
I didn't do that.
We were getting along famously. That's really what it was.
He puts his hand on your shoulder. I think he knights you.
Is that what that was? Yeah. Okay, because,
he didn't knight me.
Okay.
And he gives you special permission to bring a friend along.
Plus one.
Into the National Archives.
Yeah.
So that's where we went. Walk us through this, because it's amazing.
Yeah, so there's multiple sections to this library. It's not just one section. There's different security clearances that you have to have to... I mean, there's one that's just, you know, for the public, it's the Puff Library.
Right.
I mean, it's... You know, Dr. Seuss in Spanish and things like that.
Sure.
But then you keep going further and further into the library, and there's these locked doors, we get to pretty much the furthest you can go back, and there's a security guard at this last door, and he recognizes us. He knows we're coming, and he had the shirt. Oh, my gosh. Well,
our first run shirts. The Dylan Dutch with the arm handshake.
The handshake, yeah.
I gotta find mine.
So, before he let us through the door, he made us sign his shirt. Which, I'm okay with that.
That's he had his fine. Friend.
Yeah.
Who didn't know who we were. He was giving a bad time to his friend. He was like, "You don't know Dylan Dutch?" They took photos of us.
Yep.
And he put his arms around us. He was, like, so excited. He said, "I'm gonna tell my wife and kids. This is the greatest day of my life."
Yeah.
He lets us through.
And that was a one of those retinal scanners.
Yeah.
And we go into an elevator and we go down. And this is like an old school elevator. This isn't like a...
You had to turn a crank.
Yeah. It was almost like a dumbwaiter, right?
Right.
Something like that. And we start going down probably three floors, I would say, into this room lit by... What kind of candles were those? Was that whale oil?
Clean burning. Yeah. I think it was whale oil. That's what I smelled.
Yeah. Clean burning. So that's probably why they have it down there.
Because I've smelled this before in Qatar. It was narwhal oil. Yeah. It has like a eucalyptus smell to it.
Nice.
Yeah, it burns pretty clean and it opens up your pores.
I definitely noticed that. My skin was, I don't pay a lot of attention to it, but I could not pay attention to it.
I pay more attention to my beard than any other part of my body.
Well, you have your priorities right.
I am a man.
Stereotypical, old, dusty, you know, musty library.
Yeah.
With these huge tomes, leather bound.
Yeah.
Some of them falling apart. Some of them you lift up the cover and the book pretty much disintegrates.
I felt like the kid from Neverending Story.
Oh, yeah.
As we were looking at all these. Fair estimate. Mm-hmm. How long do you think we are in these archives, the National Archives?
At once, in one sitting, or total, like, multiple trips? Because we did
the one sitting we did that first time.
The initial.
Two, three weeks?
You know, just like with the cave, we were down deep. There were no windows. It was hard to keep track of time.
They kept bringing us food and water.
Yeah.
And a lot of scotch.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Nicaraguan scotch actually is, it's not that good.
No.
No. But it sufficed.
It's actually terrible.
Yeah.
Well, we drank it all. We're not going to be rude.
No. Far be it from us. Lots of roast, turkey legs. Giant turkey legs.
During Thanksgiving, I still crave. I tell my family. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is good turkey. But you've never had Nicaraguan turkey in the National Archives.
The Nicaraguan, Nicaraguan beet and cranberry salad, which I had never had before.
Neither have I.
But it was good.
I loved it. Yeah. I threw most of it up. But I'll try it again.
Yeah.
Well, now, just, I'm sure everyone wants to know about every book we looked at, and which authors we read. Mm-hmm. We read quite a bit. We didn't know this. We were trained in transcribing ancient Spanish into English. Mm-hmm. So we know, we did that, we were scribes for like 4 or 5 years in Nepal, and that's where we learned it. One of the books made mention of something. Mm-hmm. Now, not to be superstitious, I believe that there are other spirits out there, and we kept coming across this term for, like a demonic being, but it was in Spanish, mm-hmm. known as El Balrog. Mm-hmm. Translated to English, the Balrog.
Yeah.
Can you describe for our listeners? We read a bunch of texts, and it seemed as though when we were reading these texts, we're actually going through a maze, and every time we hit the middle, so to speak, it always ended with a Balrog.
Yeah.
Can you, based on the dozens of scripts and tomes and writings we read, could you give an estimate on what, based on your reading, it would look like?
You know, it, with as many, texts that we read, it was surprising how obscure each author was with their description of the Balrog.
As if they were terrified, like abject terror.
Almost as if describing it in too much detail would, like, summon it.
Yeah.
However, at the same time, you got the feeling that every single author could have described it with perfect detail, as if the image was just, you know, tattooed in their minds. The most description...
I've seen a ghost before. Mm. You don't forget it. These people saw far worse.
Yeah, you can't forget something like that. The most description that was given was a beast of flame and shadow. Some of the authors...
It's always flame and shadow. Every time.
Flame and shadow.
30 feet. Or 30... They have the metric system there, I think. Whatever that was. Translated about 30
Well, it was
feet.
Ancient, so it wasn't... Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Cubits or something?
Something
or...
like that. Some of the authors described wings. Some of them did not. And there's actually multiple tomes on just that whole argument, right, whether or not the Balrog has wings. Which are, get tedious. And
clawed feet.
Clawed feet, definitely. Horns were mentioned, glowing eyes. And lots of smoke.
Tons of smoke.
That was one of the, the smoke and the smell of sulfur.
Rumored to be the guardian of the Sorcerer's Eye.
Yeah, the Sorcerer's Eye.
We came there for. So all the weeks go by. As we're leaving, who approaches us but the president?
Mm-hmm.
He says, I have a gift for you. Takes us to this other room we didn't even know about.
Which is surprising, because we're really observant, and we find these things out. That's our job.
We go into this room. It's about 100 yards long. It's about 40 feet wide, with very high ceilings. We walk in there. There's nothing. It's just lined with about 200 hooded monks, but they're wearing like black cloaks.
Mm-hmm. And I thought they were statues at first.
So did I. But it wasn't like it's some evil thing. They were just there. I don't know. It was guardian. I don't know what. We walk. He leads us to an altar. At the altar, it looks like an anvil. Mm-hmm. Like from, you remember our days when we were
blacksmithing
for like, it was only like 6 or 7 months, but learning how to like bend steel and mm-hmm. make it stronger. On that anvil, we saw this enormous, I guess I wouldn't call it enormous, it was a regular-sized sword.
But there was an enormity to it.
Absolutely.
The presence of the sword, definitely, yeah.
I know this is going to sound crazy, I felt like it called to me, called to both of us.
Mm-hmm.
The president says, you guys are worthy, I know where you're going, take this with you, kill the curse. He said, kill the curse.
Kill the curse.
And we asked him, what does that mean? He said, you know what it means. You've been down here long enough.
The texts that we had read in describing the Balrog and its immense power, they also described a way to defeat it.
And what always blew my mind was, it always talked about two warriors.
Yeah, yeah.
Every single time. It was two warriors.
It was always two. It was always two. They described how a lot of warriors had tried to go in alone to defeat it, but never were to be seen again.
I pick it up. Sword. It's pretty light. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't like steel. We have experience with metals.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't steel or an iron ore. It wasn't anything I've ever seen before. The president tells us, back in the 1940s, there's a huge meteor storm, and it hit Nicaragua like crazy. They actually recovered some of that meteorites, and they fashioned it into the sword.
Mm-hmm.
He said it to you in Spanish. He like whispered in your ear the name of the sword. And I've never asked you this before, because I thought maybe it was a secret, but I know he said this is what we call it, and I've always wondered. You don't have to tell me what it is, like the name, but if you want, you can tell us the name of the sword.
The name of the sword that the president whispered to me was Muerto de Fuego, which
really
loosely,
what does that mean?
Translates to death of fire.
Wow.
Death of fire. The text.
I just got chills, by the way, when you told me that. Thank you for sharing.
I just now realized I had never told you that before.
Well, I didn't ask. It's none of my business.
You know, that's great. It was in line, and it was consistent with the text, too.
Absolutely.
But yeah, go ahead.
And first of all, I think it's all superstitious. I think bringing a sword in the mine, that's fine. We bring swords in the mines all the time. But not one time did I ever think, we're not going to run into this. This is mm-hmm. ridiculous. This is fiction.
So the texts that we had read, they did talk about this otherworldly weapon. Which didn't really make sense to us at first, you know, otherworldly, what do they mean? But then realizing that it was formed from a meteorite, that made, now it all made perfect sense.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Things came full circle there.
Yeah. So, it was something else holding that sword for the very first time.
It's amazing how light it was.
And you felt the power of it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I can only imagine that that must be what, you know, somebody who flies a stealth bomber must feel.
Right.
Something like that, along those lines, or a blackbird, or, yeah.
Or a Canadian geese.
One of those.
Yeah. I would love to go further and talk more about what happens after we hit the jumping vipers.
Mm-hmm.
You were hit.
Yeah,
the viper
yeah.
did strike you.
Yeah, I had been hit. Grabbed, you know, and like I think we mentioned before, I grabbed the bat, and it immediately started to suck out the poison. And like we said before, you know, I mean, all bats. It doesn't matter if they're fruit bats or flying foxes, what have you. As soon as they taste human blood, they'll become a vampire bat. It's inevitable.
Right.
Yeah.
One bat you grabbed, mm-hmm. but more bats flocked in, and I don't know what they did. Maybe they sucked more of the poison out. But afterwards, you had a ton of energy. I mean, you were running and jumping. I mean, it was amazing. You still have a lot of energy.
I still do. Mostly at night now, though.
Can I ask you a question? I'm going to pause it.
Sure.
Do you still get pig's blood from the local butcher? Do you still drink it?
Yeah, I don't fry it up anymore.
You don't need to?
No, now I just kind of, you know, mix it in.
Because we usually hang out at night, do you go out during the day?
You know, when I'm out during the day, it's usually inside of a mine.
Oh. Do you, like, but you wear a lot of sunscreen when you go out, I mean.
Oh, yeah, man, I burn like crazy. It's ridiculous.
We had dinner the other night. That Italian place. Guigino's?
Mm-hmm.
But you didn't have any garlic bread. I was always curious about that. You used to love garlic bread.
You know, that place just kind of made me nervous. I just started getting really antsy and irritated and agitated.
So, afterwards, the bats pretty much cured you.
Yeah, yeah.
And the next thing, we went about 3 or 4 more miles down.
Yeah.
And we did hit a den of underground bears.
Yeah. And that was really no big deal.
There were 17.
Yeah.
And I remember when I saw a cub run at us and be playful with us, the first thing I thought was, look for the mama bear.
Mm-hmm. Because
that's going to be the one that's going to charge.
Mm-hmm.
And she did start looking at us, and then she charged.
Yeah.
And that is where I think we're going to leave you guys off this week.
It's good.
From Dylan and Dutch. One thing. What was your most... Because we talk about this a lot. What was your most helpful tool when we were in the archives?
Yeah. In the archives? Oh, man. I'm going to have to say my tattoo. My quail tattoo.
I love that quail.
Yeah. I mean, for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
I don't think I really need to get into it.
No.
Yeah. But, yeah, for sure. I mean, that really provided me, I know, with a lot of assistance. What about you? What was the most useful tool in the archives?
The only thing I could think of was my monocle.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Because I don't even need glasses.
Yeah, I was going to say. I mean,
but I like looking dignified.
Well, you do.
Yeah.
Especially with that monocle.
I love it.
People start paying you taxes.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fun to play Monopoly with a monocle. Win every time. This has been another week of Dylan and Dutch. Thanks for listening. If we have anything to ask, please hit subscribe and review us. Once a week, we will send a care package out to the person that reviews our podcast. I don't care if you give us 5 stars or 1 star, but tell your friends, We can be reached at dddmining.com. We're also emailed at dylanandutch@gmail.com. Dylan is spelled D-I-L-L-O-N. A-N-D-D-U-T-C-H. dylanandutch@gmail.com. Anything else to say, Dutch? Close us off with an amazing quote.
I did the last quote.
That's right.
I think it's your turn for this quote. I don't want to steal
it. I'll quote something that we just watched. Or paraphrase it.
Mm.
Forgiveness is between them and God. Mm. It's just our duty. You gotta take a stand, it don't have Dylan and Dutch out.